just a couple that really believed for God and how it would be impossible for them to fulfill their dreams with God and how God did that within our lives. I want to ask you a question today. As you drive a car and as you journey, how many of you enjoy detours? Anybody? Keep your hands up. They're coming. You enjoy detours? Okay. One person was honest. Amen. And the detours are that you would sometimes face in life. I know when I'm on my journey, maybe home, and they've routed me a different way, I get to see new sights. I get to see new things that I normally don't see in my neighborhood. It takes me around a long way, and I get maybe a shortcut or two. And I know next time maybe there's traffic backed up because there was a detour. I got to go the other way. Or sometimes I'm on the way here, and maybe they're shutting down 410 at that lane, and it's backed up. But if you use your app, you can go around that too. Isn't that good? Yeah. Detours are part of our life. And I know in relationships, they happen in our lives. I never thought this would happen to me in a relationship, especially in marriage. Sometimes you think 1 year, it's going to be this way. How many believed when you got married that maybe you thought it's going to always be this way? I remember when I got married, or when we, you know, the perfect stories sometimes are this way. You see the girl or she sees you and you get that uma chaka. I can't stop this feeling, right? And you fall massively in love and you think it's always going to be this way. And then, you know, it's maybe 1 year down the road, 5 years down the road, 30 years down the road, 50 years down the road. And it wasn't always uma chaka. A little bit differently, right? You fast forward into it, you have kids, and we get out of marriage, it's no longer that. We think, you know, now we're just trying to survive to get our bills done and not go, or the children, to keep them out of jail, right? And it's always, our expectations are always higher, but sometimes they get lower through life's journey today, and we never thought it was going to be this way. Sometimes it's actually worse. In our union, we thought it would be better at this point today. More than 27 years ago, I saw someone walk into a building and I thought, she is smoking hot. She's going to be my wife. And so she looked something like this, and it's going to go on the screen in a moment. And this was our first date, and kind of not the first date. It was Olive Garden. Remember that, babe? But I stole her. I got her name off the church computer, and I hijacked that, and I took that, and I called her. Well, this is a couple of dates later, maybe a couple months later. And we got married pretty quick, like a month later. No, we got married like a year later. We had to pay for a wedding and that sort of thing, so we accelerated. We had money. We were in our late 20s, I think. Look at that hair. Doesn't that look good? Yeah. That's a Southern Baptist haircut right there. Man, I miss my hair that way, amen. It's just not high enough. Well, about a year later, we got married, and here's some wedding pictures. I've showed you one, but that's a new one. That cake was nice, wasn't it? Yeah. We paid for our wedding, amen. Give me a good amen. Our parents helped us a little bit, but we paid for our wedding. That limo we paid for, and we had to return it by 5. Remember that, babe? Back then, they didn't have Lyft or Uber. I think we would have done that to save some money. And then finally, about 5 years later, we had two kids, in tow. And look at that. Those are two kids with two kids. Yeah. Andrew had that cone head, amen, and because of the birth that he had. And it was a little bit, finally it straightened out and it popped out normal. Now he just has a big head like his dad. And Rebecca was always the oldest sister and always took care of her little brother. As I look back and I think of these years, I think back, boy, things are much different. We're much different then. And then the journey that everything took us through, like your journey with your marriage or your relationship, boy, if you would have been able to highlight all the detours or all the new horizons or the beginnings that you had to take or the heartbreak, even that God was still there and with us. I'm no different than you and you're no different than me. I discovered that God can still do the impossible in our marriages and our relationships because he's done them. And I can speak at a point of faith and authorized that way by God to just say, this is a message that you need from God today because God's going to help you. I have a word from God today for you. And you'll be settled and you'll go on. And if you receive it, you'll rise to what God wants you to rise. The incredible thing, I'm not looking for perfect people at Living Faith Church. You've heard that, right, everybody? We're just looking for people that get back up again and to keep rising to the occasion. Amen. And so thank God for that today. And so if life was never much as you planned it, your journey, you thought this sermon is just right along with what you need in your life. It's dedicated towards you today. Let's look at the father of our faith today and his marriage and what we learned from the Old Testament couple of Abraham and Sarah and how they believed God for the impossible. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. Are you there with me? And the Lord said to Abram, before he became Abraham, he was Abram. God changed his name, father of many, you know. And he says, leave your country. Here's how you get the blessing. You want the will of God? Here it is for everyone in this room. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household and go. I don't want to leave my San Antonio. No, look into this with me here. Go to the land and I will show it to you. And here's the I wills. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And the will of God is that you would obey him, that your name would be great and you would have a great legacy of your name. Amen. That the Jones name or the Smith name or the Garcia name, whatever it might be today, that God would make your name great. And he would bless you so much that you would be a blessing to other people. Your blessing that you get today is to be spilled over to other people in love. Right, everybody? We're never meant to hoard things. We're meant to be a giver because that's the way of God. He gives so we can give to others today. And so I don't want to leave what's comfortable, my comfort zone. Every person that God has called to follow him has to leave a comfort zone. It may look uncomfortable, but God always makes it better than you can ever imagine when you follow him. Would you trust God today, beloved? Amen. Follow in faith. Do what it takes. Amen. Do what God's asked you to do today. In Hebrews chapter 11, the New Testament, Old Testament to New Testament, we know Abraham as a faith man, right? Full of faith. And it says, by faith, right? Everybody, by faith. Yeah, you're going to have to do better than that. I'm going to stop preaching. By faith. By faith. Yeah, Abraham, when he was called to the place that he would later receive as inheritance, he obeyed and he went. And there is the hinge that turns the door of blessing. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was. It was before the Google map. Amen. It was before your phone could direct you. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith he followed the voice of God. Can you imagine Abraham coming into the tent and saying, hey, I've been talking to God, wifey, and we're moving, you know, and we're going to obey God. And so the blessing was the road of faith that it would lead him into. Whenever God's called us, sometimes here's what we do. We want details. And God is not that way. God rarely gives you details. Lord, give me details since you told me to do this on how it's going to look. You know why God doesn't want to give you details? Because it will exactly happen like my brother said on the back row. You're going to choose not to obey. You can't handle the truth. You know, I'm not a Lakers guy, but even though he sits on the Lakers front bench there, amen. We're amen. But you can't handle what God is going to put before you when he tells you to follow. Because if you did, you would say, that can't happen to me in 5 years, or I can't be part of that group, or I'm going to be going to that church in 5 years. No way. I'm going to live in, you know, you're not going to do it. I believe also God rarely gives details, because if he gave you details, it wouldn't be faith. Faith pleases God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And so you have to have faith. What is the road before me? I'm going to give you a little bit today, and you're going to hear it when you read my word, when you stay in communion, when you keep climbing, when you keep going up the mountain. But I can't give it to you all because it'll mess you up, and you got to have that faith to keep rising. Just keep going, right, everybody? Amen. Abram and Sarai had this great promise. You're going to have a great nation. Many, many sons and daughters. Lots of niños, amen. And you're going to have lots of grandchildren. And I look at this couple, and you know what they're characterized by? Of course, faith. But you know also they're characterized with, which is left out a lot because the Bible is so good and it covers us even in that sense. They were faithless at times. They made a whole bunch of mistakes. The father of our faith did that? Yeah. He was just like you. The mother of our faith, yeah, she was just like you, lady. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. There are three things that happen when life doesn't go as we planned. I love mistakes in the Bible because it shows me not to make mistakes again. Proverbs speaks of the fool keeps doing the same thing, but the man of wisdom sees the mistake and learns from it today. And so I want to learn from somebody else's mistake, right? Faithless seasons are going to come to all of us and want to creep in that we open the door to, I'm not going to have faith, I'm going to make a mistake today. Sarah messed up. Abraham messed up before she did. And you know what happened? They had that triune. They messed up together. Yeah, you'll get that at 3 a.m. Some of y'all, I'm just a nerd speaking Bible language here. Amen. Somebody's laughing on Facebook with me. Amen. A nerd with me. Amen. The first thought is this. The three things when marriage doesn't go as you planned, our relationship or your life. We fall victim to fear. Abram saw this famine in the land. And he saw the economy was tanking. And his farmland wasn't producing. And he walked in fear. And he made a decision that affected him and affected his wife and his family and his future. In Genesis chapter 12 on the big screen or in your handout, let's read it together on three. Are you there with me? One, two, three, go. As Abram was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. The Egyptians see. And they will say that you are my sister. Hey, why don't you pause right there, because there's something interesting about you're my sister. It's about this one. That was kind of half true. That was his half sister. So he kind of told a half. How many know a lie is still a lie, though? It's a half a truth. And so that was his half sister, which is wholly gross. He married his half-sister. Don't be looking at your cousin that way at the next thing that you do at the picnic. Amen. Come on, don't do that. That's gross. Amen. Give me a good amen. You know who you are. Amen. So say that you're my sister, and I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of it today. And they lived in the time of enemies that would come, and they were saying, you know what? That guy has a good-looking wife. Amen. And man, if I ever went somewhere with my holy smoking hot wife, man, I would get killed pretty easily. You wouldn't kill me, right? No, you would. And so he said, you know, I don't tell him you're my sister. And you see the fear of Abram doing it first, leading his home this way, because God promised him that he was going to be a father of many nations and a king. His kings were going to be born out of his lineage, and a savior would come later. And he promised all this. And if he was going to die by this thought, he would have never committed this sin. God promised him something, but he wavered on his faith today. And so when things aren't really going the way you expect them to go, can I ask you to keep trusting God today? Don't fall victim to fear today. It's sad in many lives today. You know, how many people don't get married? They say, you know what, we're not going to get married. We're going to postpone it because, you know, it takes a lot of money. We're afraid. What if he cheats? What if she cheats? What if she nags? It's quiet in this Baptist church. What if we get a divorce? What if something suddenly happens to the kids? Rather than living by faith, we live by fear. We see this in marriages all the time. God's called us to tithe as a couple. God's called us to be generous in our wealth and our finances, to share and live off 90 and give 10. And we say, no, what if we lose our job? What if we can't live off 90? What if this happens and God is blessed? Amen. And I could go into a sermon about that, but I won't do that today because the way you're looking at me. Amen. But we talk ourselves out of being obedient to God. And God is saying, would you obey me? Amen. When that picture of the last that we saw of the kids, we were in our church in Corpus. We had both children there. And some of you lifers know the story. When I left the mega church here in San Antonio to take the youth pastor at Northwest Christian Center, my pastor hired me pretty quick. I think there were like 3 interviews. And I clicked with him. And we clicked with him as a couple. And I became a son there in that house with Pastor Zumalt. I remember that, man, I kind of got rushed into this, and you know what? We were so foolish, no children, that I didn't even ask about health insurance. Because how many know when you're in your 20s, you're kind of doing well, nothing's going wrong in your body, there's no high blood pressure, you don't need any medicines. And so we didn't even think about kids, and we found out the first month that Irma was there, I don't know how it happened, but she got pregnant, man. And she had this great USAA insurance that she had, and she followed the man of God, you know, with me to become youth pastors. And I thought, what's going to happen? We kept trusting God. Today in our first service, James Garza, we used to call him Jimmy, Howard and I. Jimmy Garza, he's a little short guy now. You know, now he's this big, you know, sumo wrestler type guy. He's in the service. And he was part of that youth group. And he's residing in San Antonio, and he comes to our church. And a lifelong relationship happened 25 years ago because of obedience. And if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't have met you. We wouldn't have what we have in God. So obedience does what God tells us to do. I'm not a hero. No one is in this room. But it takes faith to please God, right? The consequences of obedience are God gives you the direction. He leads you in faith, leads you where fear will try to talk you out of the blessing today. And Abraham panicked. God had already promised him, you're going to be a pastor to many nations, like he's told some of you. You're going to have a ministry. You're going to do something. Don't panic. Take the hand of God and let him lead you where he's going to lead you today. Amen. Don't stop believing today. The second thing that happens is we get ahead of God. When life isn't going as planned, we get ahead of God. You know, we're going to have kids. We're not having kids. Why aren't the children coming? We're not going to force it. We're not going to manipulate it. And here Sarah comes, and she begins to force it, and she manipulates it, and she goes into action because she doesn't like, get this, God's timing. It's real perfect, isn't it? And God's time, and Sarah messes it up. Abraham messed up, and she messes up. Now look at Genesis 16 with me, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, are y'all there with me? She had bore him no children. And she said she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. And that can't be good with a name like that. That's like a weightlifter on steroids, amen, that has bigger muscles than you, man. So, you know what? And so she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. See, God's promise, though. No, he hasn't. You're just waiting on God. She said this. Check this out. Go sleep with my maidservant. What? You know that thought? You get a hall pass, buddy. You get to do whatever you want for 24 hours. That's in the Bible? That's why I'm saying don't do drugs. Don't watch that reality show. Don't watch The Bachelor. There's more drama in the Bible. Where do you think they got all their scripts from? Oh, he's going to date her and they're going to, you know, live it. No, they're not. Read the Bible. It's better than The Bachelor, right, everybody? I rebuke you. No, they're rebuking me. Amen. And she said, perhaps, oy vey, I will build a family through her. And boy, did she build a family. The jealousy that happened because of the result of what she did. The nation division that had repercussions even to this day. The cat fight that happened and that went on and on between the two ladies and the years of trouble. All because they didn't follow God's will. You know what's incredible about that baby being born of Hagar? Ishmael. God still blessed the mess. God still blessed the boy, the son. He wasn't as blessed as Isaac, but he was blessed. God blessed him. God took care of him. God will still, your mistake, God can, if you come back to God, if you return back to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up, and she did, and God still touched it and blessed it. You might say, my life's such a mess. I got way ahead of God like Sarah did. And young Christian girl in this room today, your friends have boyfriends and you're waiting for the right young man or the young man today. You want a Christian girlfriend and, well, they got a girlfriend, they got a boyfriend, and I got to have. No, you don't. And you find somebody. A girl finds a husband and he's not even a Christian. He has a pulse. His heart's beating and he's not waiting on God, and they compromise. And there's many ways that happens in marriages. Young couples, they They get into debt because they want all the material possessions that it took maybe their mom and dad to have 50 years. It took them 60 years. And for 30 years, they're in bondage because of the debt. They get into debt because we need it now. We want it now, and we got to have it now today. A woman that sees a non-Christian guy, and she desperately wants to share her faith with her husband, and her husband's not coming to church, and she wins him over, not with gentleness, not with patience, like the Bible says. She wins him over by trying to hit him in the head with the Bible, shove religion down his throat, and he gets angry. Sometimes we don't like our jobs. We think, you know what, I'll get another job, but you quit your job before getting the better job. You get into debt. 9 months later, the bills aren't getting paid, and God never told you to quit your job, but you quit it, and now that's a mess. One of my favorite movies was on this past Friday night, the AMC classic, The Karate Kid. I like the Will Smith one with Jaden or whatever his name is, but that ain't the Ralph Macchio and Mr. Miyagi one. It's a lot better. You know, so that... When I noticed the karate, the center point of that movie is, of course, his relationship with Mr. Miyagi, who trains him and teaches him, you know, to paint the fence, Danielson, paint the fence, you know, and then wax on, wax off the car, and wax the floor, and wax, you know, and he's teaching him all these moves, and then, you know what happens is, he finally gets fed up, he says, I'm your slave, and he lets out these cuss words, which you can say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, right? And he lets out these cuss words to Mr. Miyagi, you know, I'm this and that, and you're just using me as a slave. And Mr. Miyagi stops him and just shoulders him up. He said, Danielson, paint the fence. And he comes at him, and Danielson, you know, and does all these moves on him and stops him from attacking him because he would learn to paint the fence over and over and to wax on and wax off and to do all these moves, all because he was serving. And when we want to get ahead of God, we say, I'm waiting on God. And that means I'm not active. And no. You're waiting on God and you get active. It's the most active time in your life when you're waiting on God. The church always has needs. You know that. You've been here long enough. But we're doing okay without you if you're not involved. You see this thing, it's going on with or without you. This train is rolling, baby, amen? And you, if you're on it, amen, you save yourself 5 years. If you're not, and you know, 5 years goes down the road, and we're prospering. And the thing is, God wants you involved. He wants you active. And if you want to do it with this church, that's fine. I know 5 other churches that you can be part of, and they would be great. They would love you, and I can recommend those to you. They're good. But if you're part of this church, then involve yourself. Waiting on God means you're moving. A good waiter watches the table, and don't you get irritated when that waiter doesn't look at you? You're trying to, hey, over here, check, and he finally sees you, you know, or you want more sugar in your tea, and they're waiting, and they're putting it, you know, and a good waiter will keep his eye on you. A waiter, you're waiting on God means you're active. You're doing something. Everyone can smile at each other in this place. Amen? Some of us can serve in children's ministry. Give me a good amen. Oh, that's quiet amen. Nobody wants to go to children's ministry and be a blessing, right? Amen? Everyone can do something if this is the church family that you've been called to. Sarah panics. And not wanting to go down that way, she gets way ahead of God, and she doesn't wait on the timing of God today. Right, everybody? Yeah. Remember, God is never early. He's never late, but he's right on time. Right, Sophie? Amen. God is always on time. And so there's a big difference. I'm not going to try harder. I'm going to trust God more today. Amen. The third principle is this. Here we go. We don't believe God will do it for us. The same way that he blessed that person, he's not going to bless me. And Abraham and Sarah, he's answering their prayers. He's not going to answer us that way. Our miracle, and we simply, somebody else will get that miracle for their life, and I don't think it's a miracle for me today. And quite honestly, I can be real honest about this because I've been there. God, you're blessing them. Why don't we get to do that? Why do they have that? And I know I'm preaching to myself this morning. That's why it's so quiet here. Amen. Yeah. They're probably decorating the nursery after they get told this. Abram gets told this in the desert sky and looks up towards this. As many as those stars are, Abraham, that's how your descendants will be. Look at the sand underneath your feet, as multitudes will be like that. And honey, let me start painting the nursery for you. Let's go ahead and register at Target, at the Baby Depot, or whatever it might be. We're going to get some presents now. We're going to have a wedding, a shower, and a baby shower, and it's all going to... Well, a year goes by, 2 years go by, 5 years go by, 20 years go by. This is at year 30. And so I can relate to the brother. How about y'all? Is anybody a Superman in this room for faith? Huh? Who's human? Because if you raise your hand, I'm going to go to lunch and you're going to buy. Yeah. Because 12 years, 30 years go by. It's interesting. 30 years later, here's what happens. God comes to Abraham again in Genesis 17:17. Hey, you haven't had any fun all day, right? Nobody's talking in church. That's a new one. Amen. But you can talk now. Amen. It's good to talk in church. Genesis 17:17. Are you there with me? Let's read it on three together. On three. One, two, three. Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, will Sarah... What do you mean, God? This is a century before Viagra. And I'm old, and Sarah's old, and, and it's interesting how Sarah responds the same way as her husband did, because she's listening outside the tent. How many of you know women have that bionic hearing? They can hear. In Genesis 18, here she goes. So Sarah laughed to herself and thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I have this pleasure now? And then the Lord said to Abraham, why is Sarah laughing and say, will I have a child now? Am I too old? And then God says this, and it's a turning point in their marriage, in their relationship. It's a turning point right now. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? I believe when God told them that last sentence, is anything too hard, it pierced their soul. Because they remember how they acted in fear. And they said, remember when I took that into my own hands and Hagar was part of that? And remember when we had to say that you were my sister? And all that journey that happened to him in 30 years came back as anything. And God had saw him through, even with mistakes and all. Even with your mistakes, is anything too hard for the Lord today? Nothing is today. We have to believe right now that there's a shifting going on in our faith realm, that it's rising right now. Faith is going to rise right now at this moment, and God is going to do something in our lives, because nothing is too difficult for the Lord today. Amen. Well, we're in a financial mess, and there's no way we'd ever get out of debt. There's no way we'd ever tithe. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. Well, you don't know how my marriage is so bad. My husband's ungodly and he does this. Do you think that in 1 second, the God of the universe, the creator of all, that even has saved you and put life and breath in your lungs, can't drop that spouse to his knees and say, God, I fully surrender. He did it with you. You don't think God can do that with an ungodly spouse? Sure, he can. Or that one that's single in this room and saying, you know what, I'm just ready to compromise. I'm ready to give up the value or thoughts, the values of God. I'm going to go the way of the world and do this. And God is saying, don't give up. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord today? You don't think God can bring you a man of God in your life, or a woman of God that he's fashioned just for you, your helpmate to run alongside you and help you all the days of your... Sure, is anything too difficult for the Lord today? Yeah, God saved you. God is... provided for you. Our kids, man, our kids, how are we ever, they're going to follow God the way they're strained from God. Is anything to do? You follow Jesus. Amen. They can follow Jesus also. Give them a chance. Is anything too hard for the Lord today? Right, everybody? I'm preaching about 85% better than your amen, but the choir's telling me, amen, pastor, preach, preach, preach. Yeah. There's one common piece of advice that I hear, that I see throughout the three series, the three couples, and that's this. The common center that we have for it is this: make God the center of your marriage. And you have to do that. The pastor can't do it. The worship leader can't do it. The Sunday school class can't do it. You have to make God the center of your life. The single people in this room, you have to make God your one, so He brings you your two. You got to continually make. How does it look? It just takes this. It takes this. Honey, we've messed up. And I've made something else a center. I've made my job. I've made my career. Baby, I know we've messed up because I've relied on you and not looking to God. Here's how it looks. You take her hand, and she takes your hand, and you say something like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're the center of our lives. You're the hope that we build our hope on right now. You're the hope of our home, Father, for our children. We want a legacy, Lord. Become the center of our lives in the name of Jesus. Everyone can do that in this room today. Irma and I, time and time, when our journey has taken a detour, or we've made our own decision, we have to come back to that center point. Lord, we've messed up again. Forgive us, God. Make us the center point. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can do that. It's within every person in this room. Watch God begin to work when you say a prayer like that. You notice the sky didn't open up. There were no lightning bolts, but God still moves, right, everybody? Amen. And God will do it. And so they're characterized by faith, our couple today. But again, they were always full of faith. They were full of faithlessness. There was a time when they walked away from God. They relied on their own source, just like us today. And it's a perfect picture today. I want to look at one final scripture. There wasn't enough in your notes today, so I added one more, and it's Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And then somebody hit their neighbor and say, hey, that's his last scripture. That means he's almost done. I really am. I see the end of it coming to the end right here. And so he really is almost finished today, right, everybody? And so here it goes. On the big screen, Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And Abraham did not weaken, even though he was 100 years of age, about 100 years. And he figured that his body was as good as what? Dead, right? And so was Sarah's womb today. And that was fact. He was about 100. And an old man really can't reproduce anymore. And a woman with a womb that old really is not, going to reproduce either, right? That's a fact. But you know that facts can change by the hand of God? Because the truth of God is, God does the impossible. And so facts get trumped by faith. Truth will always trump facts today. A nurse in our congregation, we were testifying in our small group circle maybe months ago. And she said this. She said, I've seen miracles at my hospital. And it's maybe the Baptist hospital, maybe it's Saint this hospital or that. Hospitals are named after Christians, amen? Give me a good amen. So there should be miracles in there, but sometimes a doctor says, that person's laid out there and it's their final days and they, that's not going to happen. But this nurse told me, I've stopped believing what the doctors say because nothing's impossible with God. She said she saw it time and again how God would do a miracle, so I can't believe anymore. So truth will always trump facts. Amen? And so let me continue. And Abraham never wavered. Somebody say, never wavered. Never wavered. Do not waver, do not waver, do not waver. Amen? In believing God's promise. In fact, his faith, somebody say, coming on strong. It grew stronger. It was like that locomotive man, and he brought glory to God. And he was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. Do not waver in your faith. Do not waver in your faith. Do not waver in your faith. Get stronger in your faith. Increase in your faith. Begin to pray with your spouse. Begin to pray to God. Begin to actively serve. Wait on God in the right way. Do not waver in your faith. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're going to get that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do not waver. Invite God into every area of your life and watch God begin to move. Amen. Well, I don't like his timing. Well, God's timing is perfect. Amen. Rely on it. He's never late today. Do you receive the word of God? Amen. Do you receive it? Amen. In the name of Jesus, we receive the word of God today. Father, I thank you. We bow before you. We bow our heads, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you're more than enough. Thank you, Lord. We will not waver in our faith, Lord. There's someone today that needs healing. You may be on the internet. You may be even in the congregation, the beautiful congregation here at Living Faith Church. And Father, I thank you right now that you're healing right now, the touch of God upon your life. We just went another way. It's okay. We talk about marriage, yeah, but because you're here today, the word of faith is healing your life. What seems the facts about your health today, the truth of God is this, that you're healed by the stripes of Christ today. Be obedient by the way that you walk, by the way that you have a lifestyle, by the way that you eat, by the way that you exercise. That's wisdom, yes. God's healing you right now of that mess. He made you into a masterpiece right now. Thank you, Father. As I continue to pray, Father, I realize today that you need to do a miracle not only in bodies that need healing, but you need to heal marriages that aren't well, they're hurting today. I thank you, Father, that you would begin to do that. That's incredible right now. That's a miracle right now that you're doing that by the very breath that we're speaking. Thank you for the pain that's come to lives that's made them stronger. Father, anyone, Lord, that has faltered because of a fallen world or sin right now, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. It makes up for that right now. As I ask you a question while you pray right now as a believer, are you characterized by faithfulness to the Lord? Are you growing in your faith? Is your faith alive? Is it living? Are you talking right now in fear? Are you getting ahead of God? And maybe even that God would never do it for you today. Look at your marriage today. Look at your relationships, the ones that are strongest with you. Are they characterized by faith? Or there is no faith involved today, especially if you're a young person in this room today. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Touch people right now. If you need to repent right now, you repent, ask God to make you make him the center of your marriage, center of your life today. Father, we thank you right now that believers in this room are doing and responding what God has told them to do. We're obedient to you. God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we walked away from your teaching, from your love. We want to have unwavering faith, the faithfulness of God. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're truly a people that are hungry for an intimate relationship with our God, and we're called Living Faith today. For those that aren't married today, I want to pray for you today. God, I pray that a whole faith of God, not partial, is made evident right now in all of my single brothers and sisters in this room that aren't married right now. Thank you. They're single again, God. They're complete in Christ. Father, that they would make you their one, God. And thank you by the providence of God, the timing of God, which is always on time, that you would bring them there too. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're building our trust on God. We're seeking him because all things will be added to us if we do that. We're trusting God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As I continue to pray and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I always want to give you an opportunity to receive your Savior, Jesus. There's only one. Your work can't save you. Your finances can't save you. Your neighborhood can't save you. Your education can't save you. God can save you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can save your life. Today, you're in this room and you're far away from God. You think, well, no. I've been pretty good. I've been okay. I've done a lot of good things. Well, your works are okay. It's by the grace of God, not by your works that you're saved. So you're in this room today and you've realized that your works don't matter. They don't. Before the cross, before the perfectness of Jesus, they don't. Before the holiness of God Almighty, they don't. That's why Jesus paid a price on the cross for your sins today. You're in this room. You're far away from God. You never said yes to Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask that your hands lifted a little bit. I'll lead you in a prayer. You'll pray it right where you're at today. If that's you, would you lift your hand right now and say, that's me. I'm far away from God. I need a Savior. I need Christ. I need Jesus to save me. If anybody's in the house today that needs a Savior, God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody saw a need. Somebody responded. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Those on the internet right now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer before we're going to close off the telecast right now, so to speak. And I want you to pray this prayer with me if you're far away from God. I know that there's some on Facebook Live watching. We pray this prayer together. One that raised his hand, we pray it loud enough that we can hear it on our ear. We say it out loud. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new again. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you, Lord, I'm born again. I'm a follower of Christ. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Fill your people with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Before we conclude, we bless the people in this audience and we bless the people that are watching. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you His peace. Amen. Let's bless the Lord. Amen. New life at Living Faith Church.